I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And Rachel, I'm worried.
Oh my God, why?
I'm worried because it's officially the first week of May and I'm stressed.
Is it about students getting permanently banned from campus for protesting genocide? Is it the election? Is it the Olympics?
No, Rachel, I am stressed about Sabrina Carpenter. Here's the deal. It has come to my attention that we possibly have a contender for Song of the Summer, and the streets, aka Twitter, are saying that it's possibly Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter? This is the latest single from Sabrina, who you may know as an actress from shows like Girl Meets World or that Netflix movie Work It. But she is fully in her pop girl era with possible domination on the horizon because she just opened for Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour.
And let's not forget maybe the most important indicator of pop girldom, which is that she has an Irish boyfriend, Barry Keoghan, who has an infant at home, but is also in Singapore and Indio, California, to see my alleged girlfriend sing about him in the outro of Nonsense.
So, Rachel, let's talk about this. Is Espresso the song of the summer?
You're not the first person who's asked me this specific question. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I like the song, to be clear. I have nothing against the song. Also, I have nothing against Sabrina. I love Nonsense. I love her album. I love All Because I Like the Boy. This is not about Sabrina. I just feel like there's another pop girly who is ascendant. But before I tell you who, what do you think?
I am not mad if Espresso is Song of the Summer, because I also really like Sabrina Carpenter. I liked her back in Girl Meets World days, and so I'm really happy for her, and I think she will continue being like a multi-album pop artist. I think my issue is like this song is too reminiscent of songs of past summers, and I was hoping for something fresh this year. I was hoping for something that kind of hits me the way that like Lorde's second album did. I need something that gets me going forward, and this feels like we're going back.
That's fair. My hot take is the song of the summer is actually a Good Luck Babe by Chapel Rowan, who I think is actually the pop girl of the year of 2024. I'm sorry, Sabrina. I'm actually so sorry, but Chapel's coming for your spot.
I agree. I support Chapel Rowan. I really, really do. What's your relationship to Chapel?
I discovered the album Midwest Pop Princess exactly 2 weeks before everyone else did, which gives me a sense of superiority, but also a sense of I'm also a part of the newcomers, so I can't feel like the girls who knew her back in 2022. But that album is literally from like top to bottom perfect. It's a really new, interesting pop sound. I feel the way about her that I feel about Carly Rae Jepsen, which is that she's actually doing something interesting with pop. And that it's not just something I'm going to have on in the background. I will have it on in the background. But it's also, Chapel's funny. Like, her lyrics are so funny. I love what she's doing with her presentation. I love it. I'm here for it. I want everything good for her.
Yeah. I support this as the year of Chapel Rowan because I first heard about her on Lost Culturistas. They love her. I have a question for you. Do you think she is 2024's Lady Gaga?
I think she's her own thing. I don't want to compare her to anybody. You know, Lady Gaga is so singular as an artist. No one can live up to that. Because unless you're giving us A Star Is Born 10 years into your career, you're not Lady Gaga, I'm sorry to say. Unless you're wearing a meat dress on the red carpet, you're not Lady Gaga, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Are we going to see Folie à Deux?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Okay, not this time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Espresso, Sabrina Carpenter, let's be honest. This song may be doing numbers on Twitter and Spotify, but that doesn't always translate to like what the industry thinks is Song of the Summer, what the radio wants you to think is Song of the Summer. So a part of me is like, is this Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO? Is this California Girls by Katy Perry? I don't know. But I think it has potential. And I'm assuming you want Chapel Roan's song to be Song of the Summer, yes? Okay. For me, I currently don't have one because the Dua Lipa album, Radical Optimism, is coming out this week. I have a feeling that will probably be like my soundtrack of the summer. But you never know, because I feel like in the past few years, songs on the summer have kind of been like announcing themselves really early, like in April. So the fact that it's May and I still don't have my song concerns me a little bit. But I think we will resolve all of this in like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. And honestly, who knows? Maybe Jack Harlow or the Chainsmokers will drop a single for you in the next few weeks.
Not the C word. Jesus. They are working on their next album. And yes, I've been listening to the singles. And yes, they're already on my on repeat playlist on Spotify. Anyway, please don't do that. Jack, don't. Jack, don't. I have to work. Jack, don't.
Well, while we wait for Jack to do what we all know he's going to do, I think it's time for us to talk about the end of lunch. The end of direct-to-consumer cult brands. Because on today's episode, we are going to talk about the abrupt closure of Foxtrot and what that means for yuppie lunch culture and cult brandism the nation over.
Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about what is going on with Outdoor Voices, the exercise dress brand that was everywhere until it wasn't, and whether they're about to face an impending closure themselves. All that and more after the break.
Hey, y'all. If you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe to Slate Plus, you get no ads on any Slate podcast, including this one. You'll be supporting the show. I See Why MI would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. You'll also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, Hit Parade, Hang Up and Listen, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Big Mood, Little Mood, so many shows. You will also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever hitting the paywall. To sign up, just visit slate.com/ICYMI+. That is slate.com/ICYMI+.
And we're back. So, Rachel, today we are talking about Foxtrot. Do you know what that is?
I'm going to be so honest.
Yeah.
For a long time, I thought you were talking about the dance. So,
Okay.
No, I don't know what Foxtrot is, nor do I know how to Foxtrot.
Okay. 0 for 2. Great. Let me do my best to explain this.
Thank you.
Apparently, Foxtrot is like an upscale convenience store chain. To me, it looks like a Dean and DeLuca, a prêt-à-manger, like a fast casual sandwich place where they serve lattes and you can sit there and eat salad out of a bowl. And there's like specialty gummies you can't really find anywhere. So maybe like an upscale bodega with like Whole Foods or Eataly prices. I don't know if you've ever seen one because they're mainly in like Illinois, Texas, and Washington, D.C. So I've never seen one, but I don't know. Is this starting to sound familiar?
No, despite the fact that I've spent time in all three of those places over the past like 4 years, I did see someone on Reddit call Foxtrot 7-Eleven for white women, which I thought was hilarious. So I'm aware of this type of store. It's the trying to be a mini market, an artisanal coffee shop and deli all at once vibe. It's unfortunately the vibe that a lot of New York City bodegas are now going for.
Yeah.
Stop it. But what's going on with Foxtrot?
Well, nothing, technically, because Foxtrot closed all of their stores on April 23rd, and they announced this on April 23rd.
Oh my God.
I know. Same day delivery.
They beat Amazon.
Literally. So this was a bit of a shock, and I think it's kind of becoming a new trend, a bad trend, where retail stores are just like announcing their closing, laying off all their employees, saying like, oh, by the way, today's our last day of business, don't come back. And just to get a sense of like how chaotic this was, here's a video from a Foxtrot employee explaining how quickly everything went down.
So we just found out our store is closing today at 12.
What time is it? 10:14.
And by closing, I mean The entire chain
shutting down.
And I've lost all my shifts. Like, when do I take my 30? Like, I don't. And now all these people.
There are all these. Oh my God, I can't. The Curb Your Enthusiasm music. Uh-huh, Another institution closing down this year. But there's so much to talk about here. First off, she says she got the notification while on shift and they got the order to close in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, you are unemployed in 2 hours. And while she gets this notification, there are people in the store.
That's probably the most shocking thing to me, that there are literal people, customers, drinking their lattes, logging onto their email jobs. Like, no one knows what is going on or what is about to happen.
And this girl is like, okay, so I have to kick everyone out. I'm also getting kicked out. And it seems like there's no manager around to answer anyone's questions or concerns, which is also another hallmark of the current trend of layoffs. Leadership drops their message, leaves the group chat, and they just kind of let you fend for yourself.
Mm-hmm. To the point where this user at Sad Kiwi Girl wrote in her caption, "Anyone know how to file for unemployment?" And then she put her Venmo username in there too. And she is not the only one, because Foxtrot's company then posts on their website and social media that they have decided to close all 33 of their locations that day. They say they explored many avenues to continue the business, but, quote, found no viable option despite good faith and exhaustive efforts.
And I just feel like I have to push back on the whole good faith argument here, because, you know, call me crazy pesto Susie, but I don't know if giving your employees 2 hours to close down their store and never work there again is considered good faith.
Yeah. And the word I'm seeing in a lot of reporting is blindsided. There's a Substack called Snacks Shot that reported that employees were not being offered any form of severance and that a class action lawsuit has been filed on behalf of former Outfox employees against the company, alleging they violated the WARN Act, so that's the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, by doing mass layoffs without fair notice, which is usually like 60 days before your last day of work.
And importantly, WARN still applies even if the company files for bankruptcy. But just the way they went about this is so shady. I mean, I'm looking at this article by The Washingtonian, and apparently they closed down one of their DC stores by printing out a piece of paper that just said, "Thanks a lot!" exclamation point, which is that the tone you want to strike at this given moment? Who knows? Who knows? And the rest of this note says, "As of today, we are closed for the final time. Thank you for the time we had together." Again, what? Why? Why are we talking like this about closing down something in 2 hours? A national chain.
Yeah, it screams Tinder date. It screams, we hooked up and I had a nice time, but I'm not looking for a relationship right now. It screams, I will be hard launching a girlfriend in 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm. It's just messy and it's rude. Not only to Foxtrot's employees, but also to their customers who probably have dedicated a fair amount of money and time to this place as like a third space where they could work and hang out and just be surrounded by, you know, accoutrements.
And I did think it was funny that the Washingtonian said that at one of their DC stores, employees were handing out free wine.
Oh my God. Iconic.
Iconic. But back to how this happened and why we're even talking about it. You know, Foxtrot was apparently very popular to the point where someone told the Washingtonian it was a, quote, institution. The good one, not the bad one. Mm. And it's just funny that this store, which only has locations in like Illinois and Texas and DC, is like hitting my timeline. And I live in California. But this shows that it's bigger than me. It's bigger than just a regular customer buying a latte there every day. Here's a vendor named Hot Take Dough who sells their product in Foxtrot locations, responding to the news.
Foxtrot abruptly closed all of their locations this morning with no warning. We're Hot Take and Foxtrot stocks our frozen cookie dough. We just got word via Instagram that all Foxtrot and Dom's Market locations are closing. We had no idea. They abruptly closed this morning after no warnings, and we found out via Instagram Snackshot. They later posted this letter explaining not what happened, but that they're closing. And this was us yesterday, because we flew to Chicago to see our product. We had goals of expanding, but as a brand, we had no idea. The employees had no idea. It's just craziness. I have no idea what's going on, but we'll keep you updated with the story. And until then, buy our dough online.
Here's a clip from someone who allegedly passed by a closed foxtrot and had a very valid question.
I know everyone is probably tired of hearing about the Dom's foxtrot thing. I mean, I'm not. I still love to talk about it. But today I walked by and all the food is still in there, just sitting there. This is blowing my mind. This is honestly so messed up. There are so many hungry people in Chicago that could like eat this food. I mean, I know there's probably some business terms that things need to go through, but why is it all sitting there? One of my favorite gluten-free, dairy-free bakeries, Deflowered, they have their stuff and I can still see it in there. It's like, it's just so sad. Like, why is this all going to waste? If anyone has answers, please let me know. But I was just absolutely shocked.
And I've seen multiple TikToks about this, people filming Foxtrot from the outside being like, call me Jordan Pruitt, but I'm on the outside looking in at some sushi.
And I feel like Foxtrot has been getting a lot of heat online because their employees have been using TikTok to basically speak about the 2 hours where it all went down.
Mm-hmm. Here's a clip from Declan Parker Rhodes, a former Foxtrot employee in Chicago, who said, in hindsight, they probably should have seen this coming.
As someone who's worked for the company of Foxtrot for over a year and a half, there were some rumblings and some red flags I started to pick up on and notice. So let me share those with you now. First red flag definitely would have to be earlier last week on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were messaged by our general manager that we had issues with receiving product. So we were not receiving any alcohol. Kihi, which is like our main distributor that brings a lot of the groceries and product items that we have sell at Foxtrot. We were not receiving any of those all week. So that was red flag for sure. Second red flag would have to be today's shift at 8 a.m. My assistant manager came up to me and told me to stop selling gift cards. Don't sell any more gift cards. Even though we had over 50, 75 varying gift cards of different prices. So.
And he's been doing like a 10 plus series about Foxtrot closing. So this is a very developing story.
And I think what's funny is that like this is a store that I've never heard of until today, but clearly meant so much to so many people. When it closed, people were so sad. I read this tweet by Ben Crew that said, "The Chicago coffee shop chain Foxtrot closed every store today without warning. And I just watched someone try to open the front door, read the permanently closed note taped to the glass, and then yell, 'My free rewards drink, no!' like a SpongeBob character."
And here's one from at @shortlilgay5. Biggest moment in Chicago's history. Number one, Berlin closing. Number two, Foxtrot closing. Number three, the Great Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. And Rachel, as someone who has spent some time in Chicago, is this true?
I would definitely say the Great Chicago Fire is an important moment in Chicago history, yes. The other two I cannot comment on.
Great.
Here's a tweet from Anaddiction on Twitter. Quote, "Losing Dom's and Foxtrot. Huge loss for people who love to spend $7 on coffee and sit around a bunch of hot people." So, Candace, where will all the hot people and the hot people lovers go?
Well, I saw one tweet from Axios reporter Anna Spiegel that said, "Foxtrot closing all locations means Tate's power will go unchecked. Get ready for the Tatatorship." First off, Rachel, are you a Tate person?
I've never felt so old. What? What is Tate?
Okay. And I don't blame you for this question because I actually find Tate to be like hyper, hyper, hyper local Northeast kind of shit. But here's what I'll say. I would say Tate is like a really upscale, whitewashed, farmhouse, chic Panera. Okay.
Oh.
And I have a history with Tate.
Oh,
which is that I went to school in Boston and there were like 3 walkable Tates within distance of my dorm. And I would go there every single Friday. I would eat my turkey blat with an iced vanilla latte in their little window with the bathroom tiles underneath. And I just felt like that girl. And Tate has now really moved into DC, possibly thanks to the fact that Panera Bread acquired a majority stake in Tate in 2016.
So I'm assuming you're welcoming the tatatorship.
I mean, it's tough. As a college student, I don't think I should have been spending that much of my work study money at like such an expensive place. But I have to admit that like I liked the aesthetic. It made me feel like I was in the most New York-y part of Boston. Anyway, back to Foxtrot. I think the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I am fascinated by so many people reacting so strongly to a store that I've never heard of. And it's not really about me. It's about the way that a store that simply sells food can become a popular brand for a certain generation of like in or just out of college, yuppie, city dwellers, all of whom are definitely online and talking about this online. So is Foxtrot an online brand? Like, should food places become online brands?
Well, I think you're kind of really talking about restaurants and brands and chains that are venture capital backed. And we've had this conversation before with places like Blank Street Coffee, which is a coffee shop in New York that started as these like little vans that sold coffee out of a window and now are basically on every corner. And their whole thing is that baristas don't make your latte, a machine does. And they were able to be ubiquitous so quickly because they raised $67 million in 2021. And a lot of people are really mad about Blank Street getting that level of capital, getting that level of ubiquity, and being praised for taking over a space that could have gone to a local mom and pop coffee shop, or even just something that wasn't VC funded. And it sounds like being VC funded was part of Foxtrot's rise, but it seems like it's also part of their downfall.
Yeah, Foxtrot raised $100 million in 2022, and they used that to expand rapidly, get more stores in more cities, which means more workers, which means let's start an app that gives people a free latte every month. It makes sense why they seeped so deep into each culture they penetrated.
And yet they ran through $100 million in less than 2 years. And there's probably a link here to the pandemic, to the kind of work from home hybrid era we're living in, the rising cost of inflation, especially when it comes to food products. I also wonder if this isn't about something you've been talking about, which is the end of lunch and the end of cult branding as a kind of sustainable measure of success.
Yeah. Because I want to talk about another cult brand that was really big in 2019 and is now facing bankruptcy rumors after closing all their stores suddenly. So we'll talk about what's going on with Outdoor Voices after the break.
And we're back. So, Candace, Outdoor Voices. Are you a fan? Are you a stan? An enemy?
I feel kind of embarrassed to talk about this, but I was a huge Outdoor Voices fan, and I probably still am a bit. You know, for context, Outdoor Voices is this like direct-to-consumer exercise clothing line that really made their mark with the exercise dress. Have you seen this before, Rachel? Do you have one?
Of course I've seen this before. I'm a girl on the internet. I don't have one just because it's not for me, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel that. And if you've never seen it before, it's like a tennis dress, but it comes in all different colors. It's stretchy. All the New York girlies were wearing them while running errands. And Outdoor Voices' like whole thing was that their clothing was a lifestyle. It's not about doing hard workouts and getting that perfect IG body. It's about doing things and just getting outside. But have you yourself interacted with OV at all?
So once again, this episode is revealing a lot about the things that I don't know. Because for a long time, I conflated Outdoor Voices with Outside Magazine. Which does incredible work, by the way.
I like
Everyone
them.
Should read Outside Magazine. But I think it was like, oh, Outdoor Voices. Voices. Writing. Magazine. So I just thought they were the same thing. And so I was actually a little bit confused by how popular this magazine was among a certain set of people. I was like, okay, slay. But just to further affirm where I am in this circle, I also thought Lululemon and LuLaRoe were the same for a really long time. So take my testimony here with a grain of salt.
I think it's more like your brain is stronger than capitalism. Capitalism, some may call it.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Of course.
I'm seeing right through this branding.
There you go. So, Outdoor Voices was started in 2013 by Tyler Haney, who was part of that girl boss era of like Glossier and Man Repeller and The Wing. And she was young. She was in her late 20s, early 30s at the height of OV, and she was kind of the face and the body of this brand.
Which is interesting because, you know, face value, Tyler is a pretty white, skinny, blonde girl, which in our current time and all time means you could be the face of any brand.
Exactly, exactly. And so what maybe pushed OV into hyper popularity in 2019 is that they were really trying to emphasize body diversity. So they'd often use models of all sizes and shapes and ethnicities in their ad campaigns and Instagram posts. And if anything, it was kind of giving the illusion that being active was for all types of bodies, therefore OV is for all types of people.
So I'm assuming much like the body positivity movement, Outdoor Voices is going to fall like Icarus from the sky into the sea.
Oh, yeah. Because I would say their moment of Icarus was when Ty Haney got kicked out of OV or left OV in February 2020.
Oh.
Apparently, the way it went down is that Ty posted a Slack message to her employees saying she was resigning, and employees were shocked. They were surprised. And she issues this statement saying this is part of a, quote, heartbreaking narrative of an individual trying to cause harm.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It could mean anything, but some people read this as, oh, like someone on the board pushed her out. And a few employees read this as, oh, Mickey Drexler, who was a chairman who was brought onto OV's board after running Gap and Crew, had something to do with it because he was kind of rumored to be butting heads with Ty a lot. So Tyler leaves, but then she comes back like months later in June to be chairwoman, and eventually they instate a new CEO, Ashley Merrill, who started Lunia, which is like a sleepwear brand. By the way, Lunia has since filed for bankruptcy.
I'm getting not a lot of business sense out of this group of people. What has Ty Haney been up to since this moment?
Honestly, a lot of weird stuff. I first want to note that she has some weird associations with Elon Musk. There are rumors that she might have dated him. There are rumors they're still friends. She took a photo in front of a Cybertruck at some point. It's icky. But specifically, in 2022, she started a new venture that's about crypto.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad that I foresaw the lack of business sense, because anyone who's involved with crypto, I immediately think is just the biggest chud in the world. I'm so sorry to Christine Quinn's husband.
Oh. So Tyler started this new company. It's called TYB, Try Your Best, which like rewards customers using blockchain-based assets. That's what the New York Times wrote. And honestly, I don't know what it means.
Same.
And under that company, she started a supplement company called Joggy. I don't get it and I don't like it.
Yeah, these names are really giving ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, so what bothers you specifically about this new chapter for her as someone who is aware of OV before this taping? Because, I mean, if you were a positive person, you could say it seems like she's just trying to do her best after she got ousted from the company she's founded. She's just trying to girl boss once again. Yeah. That's what a positive person could say. Not me necessarily, but that is what someone could say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what bothers me is that after seeing this like end of the girl boss era, so that's Emily Weiss leaving Glossier, that's Audrey Gelman leaving The Wing, I sometimes feel like starting a new company is like jumping into a new relationship after leaving your partner of 7 years. Like, the difference between a job and a relationship is that you need money. You don't need a partner. But for some people, especially like entrepreneurs, I sense this desire to move on because you want to prove your haters wrong. You want to prove the people who ousted you wrong. And you want to prove like, hey, I'm still relevant. I'm not just the brand that you know and love from Instagram. And sometimes I just want these people to like take a step back, take a bath in the cash, and just do some inner work to acknowledge what went wrong, figure out how you led, and what was wrong with that, and maybe heal a bit before jumping into your next big thing. Because the other side of being a female founder is if you are lucky enough to have one big thing, you usually don't get a next big thing. So I understand that complication, but I still think people deserve to understand what went wrong.
Yeah, let's fast forward to the Outdoor Voices drama happening today, because it seems like maybe Tyler Haney leaving was kind of a precursor to the current stuff happening over on Reddit.
Yeah. So on March 13th of this year, Outdoor Voices announced that it was going to close all 16 of its retail stores by the end of that week. They laid off all their retail workers. They ended up laying off the vast majority of their like 50 to 60 corporate employees. It was a bloodbath. And apparently, retail workers found out that they were losing their jobs on a Tuesday via email, so they had like 5 days to pack up their things and go. But still, it was shocking how suddenly and badly handled this was, to the point that employees were on the OV subreddit talking about it.
And it sounds like there's some similarities between the way Outdoor Voices and Foxtrot closed down their stores.
Mm-hmm. I would say OV's was way worse, because I saw on Reddit someone post the sign that was in the Boston OV store window, and it literally said, in all caps font, on three pieces of printer paper, quote, "If locked, come back in 10 minutes. Or don't, and go spend your money on a company that doesn't fuck over their employees. Thanks, period." Oh. The other thing is that Outdoor Voices initially said that they will not be paying their retail workers any severance. And they have reversed that, but only for some employees. So some employees started posting Venmo QR codes on the store windows saying stuff like, quote, "Pay our severance since Ashley Merrill, CEO, won't."
And you mentioned the subreddit, which is usually not for employees, but for the stans of a brand.
Right.
So how were the stans feeling about all of this happening? I can't imagine they were happy about it.
They're not happy, and apparently some have been kind of crappy, because I would say the subreddit is mostly supportive of, like, you know, OV employees deserve better, contributing to the Venmo, all that stuff. But apparently some OV stores have reported angry customers, like, pulling the locked doors, demanding more information about why they're closing, to the point where the Houston store had a pretty direct sign. They handwrote it and they said, quote, "We don't care how far you drove. We are tired, jobless, and over this. Be glad we showed up. Kindness is free. Don't be a jerk. You have money to shop. We don't. We will be closing at 3 p.m. today! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark."
Okay, can I just say that the employee signs are so much better than whatever the fuck Foxtrot put up?
Yeah!
If I saw this sign, I would think, yeah, I'm gonna go Venmo some of them. And I'm seeing a lot of stores and employees coming at their CEO, Ashley Merrill. I'm assuming she hasn't been great during all of this. But surprise me, has she been great?
No. So there have been allegations, like, before this, that Ashley is potentially, allegedly, a bad CEO, that she encouraged employees to copy designs from other brands like Lululemon, that she might have allegedly promised employees that OV would get more funding and therefore your jobs are safe, that she wanted to move away from size inclusivity and reportedly told an employee that all new designs should be fit to her body. But the Minneapolis store posted this thing on their window, which said, quote, "Ashley was busy posting cat videos while we were all getting laid off and couldn't even show her face on our weekly store Zoom call the next day." And it's screenshots of Ashley Merrill's stories, which are literally reposts of cat videos.
She was reposting cat videos to her story the day. Like, not even posting videos of her own cat. So what that means is that she was just scrolling on Instagram and decided to repost something onto her story. This is behavior I do during corporate meetings, not for CEOs.
And so this happens. Then a few days later, Kate Nishimura reports for the Sourcing Journal that an OV bankruptcy filing is imminent, according to insiders. She spoke to four anonymous former employees who said cash flow was an issue. OV stopped paying their vendors. They didn't pay rent on their stores for months. HR apparently said that laid off staff wouldn't be receiving severance or payouts for their unused paid time off. That decision was reversed, but still not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Understatement. Okay. So Outdoor Voices down. Horrendous. Foxtrot just wiped off the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. What is the takeaway here for these VC-backed companies?
Well, these past two closures have made me ask two questions. One, is lunch over? And we'll get there. But two, what do we do with all that time and money and allegiance we gave over to brands like Outdoor Voices, like Casper, like Allbirds? Because it is not a secret that a lot of D2C brands have struggled in some way over the past few years. And it kind of just seems like this era of like D2C dominance is just over. And I don't know if that's a bad thing, because, you know, the inverse is maybe more people are supporting local businesses and investing back into their community. But it's the same question I ask when like a boy band breaks up or like Fifth Harmony. Like, what do stans do with the Twitter accounts and the Tumblr pages and the merch and the energy and devotion? Like, where do they store it?
Yeah. And to be clear, I don't think we need to sympathize with these companies at all. No. Because I'm sure Ashley Merrill is doing just fine with her cat videos. Mm-hmm. But there is this question of loyalty, and what do companies like this owe their employees and their customers? Because it's very, very clear how Foxtrot and Outdoor Voices have wronged their workers. I saw a tweet from Laura Rodriguez Presa over at the Chicago Tribune about how one of the untold consequences of the Foxtrot closing is that dozens of immigrant workers can't get unemployment. And because it was so abrupt, they had no time to find another job. Like, that's a real consequence that's, I would say, more important to focus on than, I can't buy my leggings from Outdoor Voices anymore.
Yeah, or I can't get my $7 latte from Foxtrot. And I wonder if this all has something to do with, you know, what they say in journalism, follow the money. The fact that all of these brands are VC funded, you know, their boards are full of tech heads. When you look at the slew of like tech layoffs that have happened these past 2 years, especially the way Elon Musk slaughtered Twitter's staff and was just so cruel in locking them out of their emails and kicking them out of Slack. Like, these D2C companies, these VC-backed companies, have taken pages out of that book and said, let's treat our employees the same way. It is a standard. This is a layoff. This is a job. Things happen. Deal with it. And I just don't like the way that companies who claim to be good, claim to do good, are treating their employees not only as trash, but also as receptacles of their CEO's failures. It's just vibes down.
It is. It's this way that the tech industry has managed to take over every single industry and said that it's okay, we're disrupting the market. If we take these tactics that gave us Microsoft and Apple and all these other things that I can't name right now, Lenovo, I don't know. Yeah. If we take all these tactics that give us these companies and we apply it to clothes or to coffee shops or to luggage, then it's going to be much better. And then when they can't get infinite growth because there's only so many people who are going to buy a $7 latte from Foxtrot versus the $7 latte from the coffee shop down the street that's exactly the same, then they're like, actually, we're going to do the tech thing and lay off thousands of people with no notice. But you asked an important question about whether lunch as a concept is over. I feel like you're kind of referring to this moment where buying lunch from certain, you know, glossy IG-friendly places like Sweetgreen or Kava or whatever felt like a way to kind of subtly signal what kind of person you were. Mm. It kind of felt like the Starbucksification of lunch. And those little brown compostable bowls of slop were basically the holiday latte cups of yuppie millennials everywhere. Yeah. And maybe it's just the after effects of when we were all working from home all the time, but that just doesn't feel as true anymore. Like, Sweetgreen is just another spot to get an overpriced salad and get on with your day. But is that what you're saying about the end of lunch?
Perhaps. And I'm not a Sweetgreen person, but I've noticed that Reddit seems to be conspiring against places like Kava and Chipotle, for example, because of things like smaller portion sizes and rising prices, and they're not giving me as much chicken as they used to. And, you know, with so many complaints about chain restaurants, especially ones like Kava, who are literally publicly traded on the stock market, I wonder if people are starting to get over lunch, to not see it so much as a necessity, but a treat. But if it's a treat, is it even that good? Is it even worth driving into the city to get a salad when I could literally just make one myself? especially when more jobs are remote, therefore we don't need to congregate at an office park, therefore we don't need to buy a cold $15 sandwich anymore. I just kind of wonder what type of vacuum happens when places like Foxtrot, they just like close 16 stores out of nowhere. Does that create a vacancy for like 16 local restaurants and 16 new exciting chefs to get there and make their dreams come true? Or does that mean a Tate walks in and basically pays way more rent than the local restaurateur could, and we wait until Tate falls too? I guess what I'm saying is, it is interesting to me that consumers were so loyal to brands like Outdoor Voices, like Foxtrot, like Sweetgreen, to the point where they made it part of their personality, they made it part of their daily lives, and yet that loyalty is never really owed back to us, and the money runs out. It just makes me wonder if American culture, corporate culture, lunch culture has become too obsessed with pedestaling these brands. And maybe this is a sign that we need to step back. We need to like sew our own clothes, make our own salads, grow our own tomatoes or something.
Can I say something?
Mm.
This conversation has made me so hungry. Where should we go for lunch?
Not Foxtrot. Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify, and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod, and you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Sarah Spragley-Ritz, Candace Slim, and me, Rachel Hampton. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online.
Or not at Foxtrot.